Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you pray every day? Well, I know when I'm out walking the dog every morning, I do pray. I pray about a lot of things. Also, when I'm on the golf course having a rough day, well, that's when I really start praying. Tell me, do you know what it means to be spiritual? We hear that word so often, but what does it really mean? Have you ever wondered how other people pray? Would you like to learn more about why people pray? Tell me, can you imagine a world without prayer? That would be very difficult to imagine, wouldn't it? Have you ever heard about a book called How Do You Pray? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to make prayer a part of your life? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be introducing you to my guest. This is the first time she has been on the show, and she is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful information and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about prayer and about life. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for a Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy the show. Let me tell you about our guest today. She is the author of How Do You Pray? And she is passionate about helping people discover a deeper experience of the sacred in their daily lives. She is a minister of walking prayer, ordained by the Center for Sacred Studies in Sonora, California. Her work focuses on guiding and supporting people through transitions by creating a space of awareness, presence, and inspiration, which integrates body, mind, spirit, and emotions. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today Celeste Jacoboni. Hi, Celeste. How are you doing?
Hi, January. I'm doing well, and I'm glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. And what a fabulous name you have, Celeste, for someone writing a book about prayer. How did you get that name?
My mother named me.
Did she have any inspiration, or is it a family name, or did it just come from out of nowhere?
I'm not sure where it came from. I know there was an actress, Celeste Holmes, and she may have liked the name, but I'm going to have to ask her. I think she just really found that name and loved it.
Oh, it's such a beautiful name, and it's such a spiritual name. I have one of my dear friends from high school, Celeste, and we all called her Sissy. So I'm sure that you probably have been called Sissy in your lifetime too, haven't you?
I have not. I haven't been. I've been called Celestial.
Okay. Well, from now on, dear, I'm going to call you Sissy.
Okay.
Okay. So, Sissy, tell us, how did your success story begin? Where were you born, and who were your early mentors? How did it all start for you?
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a great mentor to me, as was my mother. They were very unusual and very creative. We lived in a home that my father designed, and he built different wings that went out over a cliff, and one was built around a large tulip tree, and it was an incredible work of art in the woods. So I grew up in nature, which was a great gift and also an inspiration.
Now, did you have a lot of siblings, and what was your life in nature?
I had two younger brothers,
mm-hmm.
and we had a lovely upbringing. We did go to a Catholic church mm-hmm. at that time, and my mother told me when I was quite young that I could pray in that church, but I didn't need that church to pray. She taught me to pray anywhere. She said I could pray sitting out on a rock.
Mm-hmm,
and, of course,
mm-hmm.
I often do.
As do I. I know. I think I was raised in the Catholic Church. And somehow, as you get older and perhaps as you get more spiritual, you do realize that it doesn't need to be in a traditional building. Prayer can happen when you're out walking the dog or even when you're looking at the stars each night, don't you agree?
I think prayer can happen anytime, doing anything. And I'm finding that it's more of an awareness than doing something, more of a prayerness, being aware of the great gift of life, the beauty of the sky, the wonderful friendships that we have. Really, in any moment, I think there's an opportunity to see what's deeper than may present itself in the physical.
Tell me, what are your thoughts about music? I find music to be such a spiritual experience. Do you find that too?
I find that it bypasses our linear thinking, and it really touches upon the emotional realm,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to transcend, and it is often like a spiritual experience. I like most types of music, but sometimes when I'm listening to classical music or harp or inspirational instrumental, often I really have that uplifting spiritual feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel that spirits from the other side can communicate with us through prayer?
I feel that as we pray, we connect to a prayer field.
Okay.
To an energetic field of love. People have always prayed, and I think our prayers merge with all the prayers ever said. And we have support and inspiration and sometimes communication from prayers that have been said previously.
That's like the Akashic record, isn't it? Where everything that's ever been said or done is recorded and we can access it in some way. That's a pretty powerful message that you're giving out, isn't it?
It is. And I feel that life is eternal. And so there is this network of information. And whether mm-hmm. people are alive or have crossed over to another dimension that we don't know and aren't familiar with, that we still are connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many people have experienced this, connecting with others who have passed over. And prayer is such an important way of connecting. What inspired you to create this project and to write this book? Tell us about the vision you had that started it all off.
I woke up mm-hmm. with a vision in 2008
okay.
where I saw that all of the world's religions and spiritual traditions had the same essence. And I heard the words, how do you pray?
Yeah,
and
okay.
I knew I was meant to ask that question to the world.
Mm-hmm. And that is such a big question. I know I was raised Catholic, and we would all go into church every morning before school, and we'd be on our knees, and we'd be saying prayers in Latin, which we could not even understand. And yet, it was a wonderful feeling to be with everyone saying the same words and knowing that those were words that were expressed around the entire world. I think it's an interesting thing to teach children to pray. How do you do that?
Well, as you're talking about this religion, I had the same experience as
mm-hmm.
you did. And I thought it valuable in having a foundation for something larger than myself. Mm-hmm. And then with my mother giving me that insight that I didn't have to pray in that church only,
mm-hmm.
that I could pray anywhere, it allowed me the freedom to move in and out of that tradition
mm-hmm.
while I found what is sacred to me, while I was able to experience the sacred in all of life. And I think that's what is so valuable and beautiful to instill in children and to teach them the beauty of all of life and how sacred it is and how blessed we are to have the food that we're eating and to share so many things with each other.
Well, you know, it seems to me that from where I'm coming from, people have become, I know there's so much going on in the world that is so upsetting to so many people, but I feel people have become more spiritual. How do you feel about that?
I feel that way too. I mm-hmm. think something is really changing. And I know with this how do you pray vision,
mm-hmm.
when I first, you know, had the vision, we, mm-hmm. my husband and I started bringing people together in what became known as prayer shares. We'd have groups of people come, and one person would share their tradition. They'd share their prayer, whether it was ecstatic dance or a Native American sweat lodge or singing
uh-huh.
names of God or whatever it was. And they were all beautiful and wonderful. And at some point I realized that a book with responses from our mentors, our mm-hmm. spiritual teachers and activists, that would be very helpful and inspirational to us during these times, these, you know, turbulent times that you're talking about.
Well, you know, I've certainly heard of timeshares, but I have to confess, I have never heard of pray shares. And I, you know what, dear? I think that's the title for your next book. We're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Celeste Giacoboni, we're going to talk about how long it took her to write the book and how she learned to say yes to love and life. We'll be right back.
Do you desire more control over your money and financial matters? Would you like simple solutions to complex financial topics? Do you want more security in your financial future? If you answered yes to any of these questions, the book 101 Principles to Wealth is your answer. It's available now on Amazon.com. That's 101 Principles to Wealth by Charles Brokop. Order today.
Are you striving to find a job you love but don't know where to start? If so, you'll want to know about Career Esteem's Find a Great Job Fast program. learn new ways of job searching and how to find the hidden jobs that aren't being advertised. You don't have to rely on job boards anymore. Shave weeks or months off your job search. Go to careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job to learn more. That's careeresteem.com and click on Find a Job. Contact Sherry Sambersky, careeresteem.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back, and I'm pleased to announce that Tom and Jared will be on the show next week with a wonderful guest, Annette Rafferty, and she has worked in central Massachusetts creating a home for abused women and children that we'll be talking about. I'm very pleased to have on our show today Celeste Giacoboni, and she has written the book, How Do You Pray? Now, Celeste, share with us, how long did it take you to write this book, and what was this divine vision like? Did you feel it was someone you knew, or how did it happen?
Well, I woke up with the vision. It was dark outside. The room was illuminated. It actually lit up, and I sat up in bed, and I heard those words, how do you pray? And this voice continued. Is it an hour a week at a designated place of worship, or do you take your prayers out to the streets? It went on, and I grabbed a pen and started writing. And I got the inspiration to bring people together and to share their prayers because they're all from the same source.
Okay.
So we started doing these prayer shares, and and then I knew it was a book. It was going to be a book. And I sent out email invitations to a lot of spiritual leaders and teachers and mentors. And the responses came pouring in. People said yes. They were very excited, and they thought this was very important. So it was wonderful to hear back from people and hear how they pray and to develop relationships with them. And
you
it
know,
took about 6 years.
Six years.
The vision was in 2008.
6 years, that's amazing. And you heard from children living in a safe house in Nepal. You heard from people all over the world. As far as the source of that vision, it was just, do you feel it was God, or do you feel it was an archangel, or who do you think was speaking to you, asking you that question?
I feel that it was God. And for so long, January, I wouldn't use that word God. When I left the church and started experiencing different ways, I started calling this great mystery, this unnameable force of creation, I started using other names, and I wouldn't say God anymore. But now I am very excited about this word because I feel God is all-inclusive. It doesn't mean one particular belief system, but it includes all of them. It includes all of the names and all of the beautiful ways of being. And I even have an acronym for God.
Okay.
It's rid of divinity.
Oh, okay.
So it's very much like that prayer field or this mm-hmm. network of intelligence or creative energy. And I feel that's what came to me in that vision.
And it's so wonderful to talk about these things because, you know, you and I grew up and we were in a religion where if you weren't of that religion, we were taught that people would not go to heaven, which is, now that I look back on it, that's just so absurd because there are so many wonderful, good people from every types of religions, every type of cultures, and we're all connected. Don't you agree?
I agree. I feel like this whole appreciation of different ways of praying and mm-hmm. what is being called now interspirituality, being able to participate in all of these different ways of praise and prayer without actually committing. This is a wonderful thing. And it isn't, asking someone to give up their religion, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. to open their hearts a little bit more. If the heart is closed in any way, thinking that someone is less than or another religion isn't good enough, to really explore the idea that we are all equal and mm-hmm. from the same source and can appreciate different religions and choose one if we like.
Oh, yeah. And now you talk about the prayer field, and that is something that is literally going on 24/7 all over the world. People are praying as groups, as communities, in monasteries, in churches, temples, and other people are praying as individuals. This is a big energy that's out there, and it moves through the universe, doesn't it?
I feel like there's this energetic template that mm-hmm. manifests into the physical. And our prayers do touch the earth. And people pray alone and they pray in groups. And we're learning through quantum physics now that energy follows intention. Mm-hmm. So if we have this intention of peace, and the more of us are putting our prayers and our energy and awareness on that intention, that it really amplifies this prayer field, this energetic web, this energetic network, and it does touch the earth. And I feel mm-hmm. like that's why we are all really becoming more in touch with each other and more enlightened and more spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do feel that people who have passed over to the other side, their prayers are with us, and they unite with us and make us stronger, and actually, they help us get through so many difficult things that we're going through. I find that, for me, prayer is getting to be very, very quiet and listening to what's coming through. Have you had that experience?
That's profound. I feel that way too. I feel that in the stillness, mm-hmm. we are able to catch these inspirations and to hear the voice of God or to hear these mm-hmm. divine callings and these ideas. We're all so busy and mm-hmm. active. And to carve out a little time in our schedule, even if it's before bed, before we, you know, hit the pillow and fall asleep, but to have a little quiet time where we can cultivate a relationship with this unknown.
Yeah, and it's so difficult now, actually, and truthfully, because of all the technology. I try to spend time with my grandchildren, and everyone's texting. I found that no one will answer a phone call in my family, but yet if I text them, within 2 seconds they answer. So life is life is changing in a very strange way. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Celeste Iacoboni, and we'll talk a little bit more about how to pray.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredimski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm so excited to announce that Priceless Personalities is now officially available at audible.com, and it is some of the most fascinating interviews that I've ever had on the show, and I am honored to be able to share them with you. Speaking of priceless personalities, we have one with us today. Her name is Celeste Iacoboni. However, for me, I can call her Sissy. And Sissy is with us sharing her wonderful book, How You Pray. And Sissy, could you share your website information and tell my listeners where they can get your book?
My website is howdoyoupray.com. I have a How Do You Pray Facebook page, mm-hmm. and How Do You Pray Twitter.
Oh,
and you can get the book on the website. There's links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, and you can also get it hopefully at your local bookstores. And if they don't have it, ask them to order it.
Fantastic, and thank you for sharing this. Now, when you look at this experience, 6 years, how did you gather the contributions to this book? Who did you send these emails to? Who did you request this information from?
I sent out emails from a lot of the spiritual teachers that I knew of, and then I started reaching out to activists and healers and mm-hmm. lovers of humanity, atheists. I got in touch with a few atheists. They call themselves atheists, and uh-huh. they were as prayerful as anyone else. Everyone contributed so much.
Now, explain to me how atheists can be prayerful if they don't believe in a God. How does that work?
They believe in nature.
Okay.
They believe in humanity. They believe uh-huh. in the goodness of people. So they really prayed in a different way. They prayed in what they called experiencing life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
okay.
And it was very beautiful and profound to see how they shared what was meaningful to them and what was important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't call it God. But, you know, it sounded almost the same to me. They believed mm-hmm. in something greater than each one of us as an individual.
Okay.
They believed in how we came together.
Okay. Well, you know, I went to a Jesuit college, and you write about your favorite description of God comes from William McNamara, a Carmelite priest who taught me so much about prayer in my 40 years of monastic life. He is no longer a monk. Calling God personal, passionate presence. Isn't that an amazing description of God? I love that.
Yes, that in the book was by Tessa Bilecki, and she wrote about that personal, passionate presence. She said that she prayed most by looking out of the window and being in